As we are approaching Easter, we're getting ready for these special celebrations. Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday. We're preparing for what is yet to come. And what Jesus is doing when he's going through his passion, death, and resurrection, he's establishing a new covenant. We hear a little bit about this new covenant in our first reading. Through the prophet Jeremiah, we're told that this new covenant is going to be different. That it's not just going to be certain people who are going to have the Lord with them, but everyone is going to have the Lord with them. Everyone is going to have the Lord and his law in their hearts. One of the things that got my attention in our first reading was how Jesus said, how God, through the prophet Jeremiah, said, "No longer will they need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All from least to greatest shall know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more." Now, in Scripture, there's oftentimes multiple layers and multiple interpretations. One way we can understand this is that we're being told by God through the prophet Jeremiah that in the new covenant, the one that is yet to come for them, we're in it right now, but for them, it was yet to come that they would receive this great gift and when they wouldn't have to be taught. And that may seem strange to us now because we still do need to be taught. So what then could this mean? It could be a reference to the fact that everyone can now experience the Lord. Everyone can now encounter the Lord. Everyone can listen to and receive the word of God themselves, not just certain people, like in the Old Covenant, certain people, certain prophets. If we think about the Old Testament, not everybody had the Holy Spirit speaking through them and to them, just certain people. And the people would ask the prophet would ask God, God would tell the prophet would tell the people. But he's saying in this new covenant, it's going to be different. In this new covenant, everyone is going to be able to have this opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone can have this law of God in their hearts. Everyone can have this experience of encounter with the Lord. And that's what Jesus brings about with his passion, death, and resurrection. He establishes the new covenant. And he alludes to that in our gospel passage. For us today, just being baptized allows us to be a part of this covenant, this new relationship with God that he establishes through Christ. But the other two sacraments of initiation are receiving our Lord in Holy Communion and being confirmed. If we have all three of those, we're fully initiated in the faith. We're completely a full member of the church through that, all three sacraments of initiation. And with that, we can experience the Lord and encounter the Lord more profoundly. And so in our gospel passage, Jesus also alludes to another aspect of this new covenant. We hear that some Greeks are coming to the Passover feast. Now, only the Jews celebrated the Passover. So for the Greeks to be coming, in our gospel passage, it's helping us understand that this new covenant that's going to be established is going to be for everyone. Not just for the Jewish people, like the Old Covenant was. And they want to see Jesus. And so Philip and Andrew talk to Jesus about that. And then Jesus talks about the hour that is to come and how a grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die. And if it does, then it produces much fruit. He's talking about his passion and death and resurrection. That through that, he's going to bring about this great new covenant where we will be filled with that grace. We might wonder, okay, yeah, but they ask, can they see you? And he's saying all these other things. Why? Because he's not only pointing to his passion, death, and resurrection, he's also alluding to how we would be able to encounter him, how we would be able to experience him more fully ourselves. He's talking about how we, the believers, the disciples, we need to die to ourselves, our own disordered affections and desires. We need to follow him. He goes on and makes that more clear in our gospel passage, saying, whoever loves his life will lose it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. So he's talking very clearly now about his disciples, his followers, that if we're more concerned about this world than the world to come, we're still going to die here. But if we're more concerned about the world that is to come, life after death, then we will have that eternal life that we're aiming for. We'll have that grace, that mercy, that love, that relationship that our Lord promises us if we're willing to pursue it. He makes that point even more clear in the next lines when he's talking about those who serve him must follow him. He gives us the commandments. He gives us his teachings. We have to follow those. If we want to see Jesus, even here in this life, but more importantly, in the life yet to come, then we must be his followers. We have to do as he says. We have to allow him to work through us. We have to allow him to inspire us. We have to frequently receive the sacraments. There's a lot of temptations in this world that'll lead us astray and away from God. But if we persevere, if we continue putting God first and the pursuit of heaven to be with him forever as more important, then we will achieve that goal. We will have that grace. But our Lord knows that that's difficult, that that's hard, that it's so easy to just go along with what the rest of the world is saying. And even in our own broken human nature, we have this tendency not to necessarily do what God asks of us. Jesus even points to that in our gospel passage. He says, I'm troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came into this hour. Father, glorify your name. What is he talking about? He's showing us he's really human. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that he's supposed to give up his life on the cross. And in his humanity, like every human being, there's a desire to keep this life. But he's also showing us his surrender to the will of the Father and his own desire to make this perfect gift of love for us. His own desire to sacrifice, recognizing that this is why he came to earth. This is why he became human, so that he could do this for us, so that he could make a sacrifice of his life on our behalf. But the grace we receive depends upon how well disposed we are. How open are we to receive what our Lord has to offer us in the sacraments, in personal prayer? That too is alluded to in our gospel passage. Notice when the voice responds, different people have different answers. They understand it differently. God the Father responds, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. But then the crowd says, some of them say it was thunder, and some say, oh, that was an angel that spoke to him. They're not receiving what God is giving in the same way, because they're not disposed in the same way. The better disposed we are to God's graces, the more we receive. The more eager we are to receive what he has to offer us, the more we are able to get from him. Our Lord wants to pour out his grace, his mercy, and his love upon us. But if we're more interested in other things, we'll totally miss out when it comes to the sacraments, when it comes to personal prayer. And this is true for everybody. I mean, even in my own prayer, sometimes I would go before the Lord and I'm so distracted and I'm just doing all the talking and none of the listening. And by the time I'm done praying, I don't feel all that much different than when I began. But other times, when I slow down, when I'm well prepared, when I'm well disposed to what God may say to me, then I can encounter him. Then I can listen. Then in his own way, he can reveal himself to me here on earth such that I can see him in a mitigated fashion. In heaven, we can see him directly as he truly is. Here, we see him only indirectly. As St. Paul says, as if in a reflection in a mirror. We don't see perfectly as of yet. That is for the life to come. In fact, just last night, as I was in the confessional, in between confessions, I was praying, and I was looking at the crucifix and thinking about Jesus, and all of a sudden, a jack of spades came to my imagination. I'm like, Lord, a jack of spades, really, what's that about? And then it's like, it's Trump, like an euchre. I'm like, Lord, did you just make a euchre reference in prayer? He did. And so then I started laughing. Though I hope no one thought I was laughing at someone who was a penitent, because I was in the confessional at the time. I was laughing because the Lord made a euchre reference in prayer. But we have to be well disposed. We have to be eager to receive what God wants to give us. Then we can have that encounter. And so today we have a very special celebration, in as much as we have our eighth grade students who are getting ready for confirmation. And we are going to have at the end of Mass a little ceremony recognizing what they are doing and praying on their behalf, that they may be well disposed to receive the Holy Spirit when they are confirmed, that they would be well disposed to encounter Him in prayer, that they would be well disposed when they come to Him in our celebration of the sacraments, including the celebration of the Mass, where each and every one of us have the opportunity to encounter our Lord in the most holy Eucharist.